WDK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Pope Francis's body has been buried after the funeral and procession through the streets of Rome. It's St. Mary Major outside the Vatican, which is unusual. No word when cardinals will get together to choose a new pope. Before attending the funeral, President Trump sat down for a face-to-face meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky at the Vatican. ABC's James Longman's there.
This is the first time since Zelensky was in the Oval Office, and of course that meeting that went slightly off the rails with President Trump. The United States has said that that meeting went well.
An Israeli airstrike in Gaza City today killed 10 people, half of them children, say local health officials. Iran's government-controlled media says an explosion in the port city of Bandar Abbas has killed several people and injured more than 700 others. ABC's Marcus Moore.
Video shared on social media showed thick black smoke billowing from the port. Hospitals reported receiving hundreds of patients. It's unclear what caused the explosion.
Our Marcus Moore, this is ABC News. Iran and the U.S. held in-depth negotiations in Oman today over Tehran's rapidly advancing nuclear program, ending the discussions with a promise for more talks and perhaps another high-level meeting next weekend. Luigi Mangione pleading not guilty to federal charges in the killing of United Healthcare Chief Brian Thompson. Prosecutors say that they intend to seek the death penalty. ABC News Chief Investigative Correspondent Aaron Katursky with the latest.
After Luigi Mangione pleaded not guilty to federal charges, his lawyers begin trying to stop federal prosecutors from pursuing the death penalty. Mangione's attorneys have called it barbaric, and they have until June to say why the government should not be allowed to seek his execution. Prosecutors have said Mangione deserves it for allegedly stalking and killing United Healthcare Chief Executive Brian Thompson and for trying to provoke broad-based resistance to the victim's industry after investigators said they discovered words associated with insurance claims at the scene of the crime.
Our Aaron Katursky, Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Here's another 107.5 WLAK community reminder. The Duranda Lutheran Church has a Swedish meatball dinner coming up this Saturday, April 26th. They're located right off of County Road F in Amory. That's the Duranda Lutheran Church Swedish meatball dinner, Saturday, April 26th from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK.
This message is sponsored by WISCaregiver.com. Now is the time to start a meaningful career as a caregiver. Make a real difference in people's lives. WISCaregiver.com gives you two great options for free. Train for the in-demand caregiver workforce as a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or become a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. All training is free. Plus, you can earn a $500 bonus. Learn more. Visit WISCaregiver.com.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsin's export economy was already turbulent, and now tariffs could send it into a tailspin. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
Businesses and farmers across the state rely on exports, and some of the biggest categories are industrial, electrical, and agriculture. But the value of those exports overseas has dropped in the last 10 years, according to the Wisconsin Policy Forum report. The state has gone from the 19th top exporting state to 21st. Tyler Burns with the forum says the cause is difficult to pinpoint, but factors like labor costs, consumer tastes, and workforce changes all play a role.
Wisconsin is one of the most dependent states on agriculture and manufacturing jobs. And so any disruption to our access to international markets puts a lot of people at risk.
Burns adds U.S. tariffs triggering retaliatory actions could make Wisconsin goods more expensive, potentially causing consumers to seek alternatives. The report looks at state-produced goods, where they're produced, and which countries buy them. Milwaukee exports the most goods, with total exports last year valued at $9.7 billion. That's down nearly 20% from a decade ago. But Burns says this mirrors drops seen in other industrial cities. Last year, Canada, the European Union, Mexico, and China were the top buyers of Wisconsin-made products, accounting for about two-thirds of all the state's exports, according to the report. And the U.S. has imposed tariffs on all of them. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, lots of sun and a high near 62. Slight chance of a shower late tonight, lows around 43. Showers and storms Sunday with a high near 61. More showers and storms Sunday night with a low near 53. Monday and Monday night, showers and storms, some strong. Right now, it's 52.
Civic Media. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Folks, I'm Charlie Behrens, and if you're tuning in, this is the Cripescast on Civic Media. I'm here with Dan Van Kirk, who you guys remember from not too long ago.
Yeah.
He's on the pod, and we got Billy Deuce, who's also been on the pod, and I figured that we just bring you guys all together because, Dan, you're in town for a little bit.
Yep. Happy to be here.
And then, Bill, I wanted you to meet Dan the last time we were doing shows because I just feel like as far as, like, wow, impressions goes and everything.
Yeah, we kept hanging out. And he kept being like, you and my friend Bill have to hang out together. And I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah. The longer we went with hearing like him start doing impressions and all that sort of stuff, I was like, oh man, it's gonna be good when you guys all connect. And unfortunately for you, Bill, like, this is the first time you're meeting Dan. We could have had a whole pre-podcast meeting, but I guess screwed up telling you the right time to come in.
Well, sometimes you you misremember what you said. So basically you just suggested that it would be a good idea yesterday.
Okay.
But in your head, that was, Bill, I'll see you at 10 o'clock. We're doing this. Please don't be late. So I text Dante at 10 this morning. I'm like, hey, what time's Daniel coming? He's like, he's here. Where are you? And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, you're on the podcast today. I'm like, oh, good to know.
You just reminded me. Have you guys ever heard? This is a Tig Notaro prank / joke. It's one of the best things I've ever heard. And it works on people like us that always have, like, this day I'm doing this, and then I have to be here on this day, and then, oh, I can't forget, next weekend I'm in blank, whatever, right? Tig has a prank she plays on her friends where just randomly, out of nowhere, at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, she'll text one of her friends and go, well, everybody else is here, so we're just going to get a table. And then and then you put your phone down and you do not respond.
Oh, that's cool.
For hours. Could you imagine the heat that would start running down your back if you got a text from like one of your friends that you also work with a lot or whatever? That's like, mm-hmm. Well, everybody else is here, so we're just going to get a table.
That's funny. Oh, dude.
I would have a mental breakdown.
That's such a move to like just put the phone down and not. Get, there was this one time that reminds me, I was on my honeymoon back when I was married. And we were in Mexico and I texted, my mom said, are you guys having fun? And we didn't really have service there or whatever. So it was just kind of like, I had service in the hotel. So I said, yeah, we met these really cool guys from a group called Los Zetas. We're having a ton of fun. And then I thought, because Los Zetas, they were in the news quite a bit at that time for being
cutting heads off and stuff.
Well, I don't know. They were a pretty intense gang in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Bad dudes.
And I left it in the hotel room, not thinking a thing. I thought she knew clearly I was kidding. Come back to the hotel.
And you got like Denzel Washington, Man on Fire there to save you. Your mom has like hired him to come down and get her son.
Pretty much, man. I mean, my mom didn't. I don't know how much my mom freaked out, but,
bulletins were sent out to the family.
Yeah. Both sides of the family, let's just say, were not happy with me because there was this guy working there that came up to us when we got back. We were sitting down, like having a drink or something. Yeah. And like, excuse me, your mother is on the phone. And I was like, what? How do you know? You need to come with me.
Wow.
And yeah, so that was a bummer, but that's what that reminds me
for sure
of.
Yeah, because you just send someone into a panic.
Yeah,
I love that you did it by accident.
I did it by accident. I thought everyone knew. I was kidding.
Yeah, of course you're joking.
Clearly I'm not a good communicator is what I'm learning. I forget things. I can have a conversation with one person and just think I told the whole world that, so everyone knew the deal.
I do
that, you know.
I'm right there with you.
So you made a joke in bad taste maybe, and had you had your phone with you, your mother would have called you and you would have said, oh, I'm just kidding.
Right.
But you left it in the room. And so it escalated to like a law enforcement was involved at the place.
It escalated because her parents were like, what?
Oh,
you know, okay. and neither of us had our phones. So.
But the idea of someone coming up to you and going, there's a telephone call for you. That hasn't happened since we were in like grade school.
Mm-hmm.
Like your mom's on the phone. You need to go to the office.
Right.
Yeah.
Or like movies in the '80s where somebody's at a restaurant. Remember
and
that?
Like people, call.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that used to be a thing? Like people would know you were at a restaurant. So they'd call the restaurant.
Mr. Stevens, there's a call for you.
This is what people always say. Well, what did we do before cell phones? I'm like, we made plans.
You lived your life.
Like you said, I'll see you on Tuesday at 4 o'clock. People and then both of us just went about our lives for 3 to 5 days operating the idea that that is where we're going to be on Tuesday at 4.
And you didn't need 6 more confirmations.
None.
Confirmation before.
None.
Yeah.
You didn't need a Google reminder.
Right.
The amount of time people would like wait around places and they'd be like, well, I guess I'll go home and see if they left a message on my machine.
Yeah. And even before like answering machines, like it became pretty cool to have an answering machine in like the 80s.
Oh, yes.
Otherwise, it was like ring, ring. Ring, ring, you know,
over and over.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. It just rang. It just would not stop ringing.
Yeah. Eventually the like operator would disconnect you.
Yeah.
So really?
Piss your neighbor off.
It just rang for.
Do you guys think there are any operators anywhere still like doing the plug and play?
That's a really good question.
Hey, did I ever tell?
No.
No, you don't think so. Okay. Did you ever tell
the story about my dad and the payphone thing?
No.
On the podcast? Because I feel like Daniel might like this.
Yeah, say it.
So speaking of like the '90s, you know, my dad was, you know, worked for Chrysler his whole career. So corporate
in
guy,
the Boston area,
all over the country. We moved a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just real quick before you keep going on this, Bill, is your mic situated? Okay.
I feel like it's okay. What do you think, Hannah?
Right now it's really good.
I'm so trying to, okay. Try to get up on it.
Close. Okay. I just really want to hear like your vocal folds in my ear.
You want me to do like a Will Arnett? Like, hey, the new Dodge Ram, and I'll do Sam Elliott. Will Arnett. You've reached the operator.
Bateman and I went golfing the other day, and Bateman drives it like a total psychopath. And I'm like, Bateman, I got to get home and do a Ram commercial.
Ram.
So your dad worked for Chrysler?
Yeah. So like he would literally like, you know, didn't have a computer at his desk, like files and a typewriter and like calling people, smoking cigarettes. Yep. Like, hey, you need 2 more Dodge Caravans, you know? And so he'd be on the road a lot, and I probably had a beeper, but like the protocol was just you call the zone office and check in,
mm-hmm.
and you call the dealership, whatever. So like... this wasn't work related, but when we lived in Philadelphia, we used to drive up to Boston all the time to visit my grandparents.
Okay.
About a 6-7 hour drive all the time. And I think it was like the George Washington Bridge was the route we would go through New York. And so one time in like 94, whatever it was, we're driving a whole minivan full of my family. My dad's driving and some dude, like, I don't really remember cause I was a kid, but was like basically trying to run us off the road.
Stop.
And my dad wasn't sure what he had done, but this guy had like, was like losing it. Just this guy by himself, his car was all full of everything he owned, like clearly not a well person. And he was basically trying to like run us off the road. So my dad, like, had we not been in the car, probably would have given this guy what he was looking for.
Yeah.
But he had to be like, I'm a dad.
Yeah.
I'm a dad.
Yeah.
And so he memorizes the license plate.
And you have vivid memory of like looking out the back window or whatever and like my seeing memories this angry car.
My memories are more fleeting, but my sisters and everybody remember it better.
Okay.
And it was bad. And my mother was all upset and we were still far away from Boston. So it was probably an awkward ride the rest of the way through Connecticut. But so anyway, my dad, you know, memorizes the license plate. And my dad's retired now, and I'm sure this particular Pennsylvania state trooper is too. So I think everybody's
fine. Statute of limitations.
Tell you know we're about to get a good.
So my dad's coworker, let's say, she works with him, and her husband is a Pennsylvania state trooper. Well, my dad goes, "Hey, so-and-so, this guy tried to kill me and my family." It's the greatest thing. And I feel like any mass state trooper would probably do this today. Yeah. But the guy's just like, "Oh, yeah, hang on. Oh, it's Joe Schmo from Schaumburg, New Jersey, you know?" And my dad's
been there. Yeah. Gorgeous place.
It really is.
Weird name.
Schaumburg. Great factories. So anyway, you know, my dad gets the guy's info, you know, thanks, trooper so-and-so, whatever. And for years... still has the phone number, I think, in his wallet or the desk. My dad, when he's on the road, say 2-3 years later, whatever it was, if it occurred to him, he stops for a coffee or to take a pee or whatever.
I love where this is going.
He goes, "Oh, I think I'll call Joe Schaumburg and remind him that I haven't forgotten." So the thing my dad would do is call.
From a payphone?
Yep. And the guy, I don't think the guy almost ever picked up, but there was an answering machine and he knew it was the guy. And he would go, "Hey, Joe, this is the guy you tried to kill on the George Washington Bridge in 92. I just wanted to let you know I haven't forgotten. And when I get around to it, I'm coming to get you." For years.
That's a good dad. Years.
Oh, my God, dude. That's something people would make a movie about.
And yes. every once in a while, my dad will be like, because he still has the number somewhere. My dad will be like, "Yeah, I should call that guy." And I'm like, "Well, we're living in an age now where he could probably find you."
No, let's call him. Star 69.
Star 69. Oh, what a tool that was.
Oh my god, dude!
But I like how your dad does this mafia style, only doing it from a payphone.
Yeah,
brilliant, man. Brilliant. One day he's gonna put the payphone down, start walking away, and that payphone's gonna ring again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he's gonna walk back. It's gonna be like dramatic music, and he's gonna pick it up, and the guy's gonna go, "We gotta meet." Yeah. You know, and you and your dad.
The guy's finally like, "I can't live like this anymore." Yeah. "Just do it. Just make it quick."
I think if the guy asked me, I'd be like, "Yeah, let's do it." I'm not even saying for violent reasons. I'd be like, "Let's hash it out.
Let's
talk about what was going on that day. I got some things I need to say. You obviously have things you need to say."
It was 92. The Phillies had just lost the World Series. I was living out of my car.
Yes.
You had a brand new Dodge Caravan, you know.
Every time because I've been driving around, I just had wonderful shows in Milwaukee at the Laughing Tap. Shout out how much I love Wisconsin and the people here. But I've
agreed.
I've recently, like, when someone rides up on you, like you're in the left lane going the appropriate 81 in a 70, right?
Yeah.
Which I think is a totally fair speed for the far left lane.
Well, I mean, that's a little past the speeding limit.
Right.
Like 79.
Exactly. So if you're going 81, you're definitely...
you're dancing with the devil right now.
Well, I know. The most I'll go is 83.
Okay.
But pace of traffic, if I'm 81, I'm definitely not going slow.
No,
you're right to be in the left lane.
Yeah,
right?
You're doing it.
Somebody comes flying up on you. There used to be a me that would get like angry.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's a part of me that goes, "Hey, let me get out of the way." Because I want you to go get that ticket for us.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like
the scout.
You need to view that person as doing you a favor.
You're exactly right. And I have the exact same outlook.
And you need to say, like, and now I do a thing sometimes, like, let's say, let's just keep it simple. Two lanes. I'm in the left lane. I'm going 81. Passing a semi that is going a 79. So that's going to take you about anywhere from a half a mile to a mile pass on the long end of that differential of speed. If a guy comes flying up on me, or woman comes flying up on me at 87. Like 87. Toons is the cat.
Toons is the cat.
Yeah. Comes flying up on me at like an 87. You know what I'll do? What? I'll be like, "Hey, I'm obviously going faster than the semi.
Give me a second.
Give me a second." And I will hold up the finger. And I'll go, "Just a sec," right? And normally they'll just stay on me, and I'll just keep that finger up until I get over.
Yeah.
Sometimes they will back off, right? I was driving recently, and I wish I could remember where it was because I have been on the road so much, but I was driving recently. Oh, I know where I was. I was driving from Boston to Providence, Rhode Island to do shows in Providence. Wonderful shows though. Absolutely loved it. It was great. And it was like during March Madness and all this stuff. And
wait, you're telling me you ran into an app driver between Boston, dude, Massachusetts and Providence, Rhode Island?
That's what's the crazy part. We're about to go, we're about to go the other way.
Oh,
guy comes rolling up on me. I'm going 81, passing a semi, going 79. Gets way too up. I give the hold on a second, right? Guy does the wave, slows down. Wow. I then get over. I look at him. He gives me the high sign. I give him one back, and I go, that's how this is supposed to work.
Wow. I feel like
he was like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll give you a second. So I get around. He gets off my ass. I get around. Then he gives me a have a good day. I go right back to you. Everybody was so happy with that exchange.
Two members of society who are able to exist in society.
It was so nice. It was like getting into a warm bath. I was like, yes, you obviously, for whatever reason, are driving way over the speed limit, but you understood I was gonna pass, so you gave me a second, and then we waved at each other, and I'm like, maybe we will make it.
They're out there.
I think you're bringing up a really good point here, is maybe the problem isn't the people, it's not the drivers, maybe the problem is the lack of communication tools we have. We have blinkers that say go right, go left, but to say we need this as a little flashy light.
The amount of times I thought about a scrolling marquee.
That's exactly that you what I'm put thinking in your my head right
rear
now.
Windshield and type in like, give me definitely going to pass. Give me a second.
Yeah. Or like, you know, I have thought about that a million times. You couldn't have like a radio because then it would get abused. Right. But like, you know, like a limit of how many characters, but just like, I'm moving. Give me one sec.
Yes.
Or slow down. There's a cop up in front of me.
Yes.
But like your point about the mentality. So I've told these guys a million times, but like living in Boston for 20 years, I'm not a natural Bostonian. It's not a thing that feels good for me.
Sure.
My family's used to it. They've got the thick skin, but I would like, I don't really get that angry usually, but when you see me creep into a level of anger, it's always on the road.
Sure.
And in Massachusetts, it was getting to a point because I had like, I was a musician and I would have these gigs in Boston a couple of times a week. Driving from Natick, Massachusetts to Boston, this is 14 miles, would take me 2.5 hours.
That's
oh my God, dude.
Insane.
I mean, how could anyone not go insane? Meanwhile, the whole time you're like, I'm not going to make it on time. And you're dealing with a million other people that are miserable.
Miserable.
And so for the longest time, I would get road rage, never to a violent place, but like it was possible, which is not good.
Yeah.
I don't like
that. I'll do some brake checking in my life.
I was telling him yesterday, I had to stop doing it in Milwaukee because people aren't used to it.
They'll hit you.
Like, I was just brake checking people when I moved here. Like, that's what you got to do in Boston. Yeah. Just be like, hey, face, if you want to play this game, I'll play it. And here they're like, holy shit.
You want to dance with the devil by the pale moonlight?
But your mentality is exactly the approach I'm taking, is the, listen, this asshole does this all day, every day.
Every day.
So do I have to be the one to give him what he's looking for? Right. No, there's a million other apps who are waiting for him. So I will move over and he will go hopefully get what he's looking for. Yeah. And I'll have nothing to do with it.
Well, sometimes too, like, you know, we're lucky enough that like, we don't really live these normal lives, like comedy and entertainment and stuff that we do. So sometimes what I'll also do is like when I find myself, if I'm on the road or even in LA, where I catch myself needing to go from Santa Monica to Hollywood at 5 p.m., I'll think to myself when somebody's like angry driving, I'm like, they got to do this every day.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they're mad. I just happened because of the way a meeting worked out, or I was lucky enough to book something. And when I rapped, I'm just stuck in what is there every day.
You move it into gratitude.
And I go, these people are fighting with each other,
you know,
every morning, every afternoon. I just happen to be in the wrong end of the pool for a little bit.
That's a very healthy way to think about
it. And I'm not, don't get me wrong. You know me well enough. I got enough Midwestern, like this son of a bitch.
Yeah.
But like, I try because at the end of it, like,
yeah.
Although, do you guys suffer from this of like, you really like seeing how down you can get your original expected time from GPS from one place to another.
Oh, that's like, oh, yeah.
So I also have that problem too, where I was like,
I think that is borderline a sexual experience for Dante doing that.
Cutting, just shaving yeah. time on GPS, on Google Maps.
He's the guy on your ass, by the way, in the fast lane.
Dante is anyone. The guy on your ass for sure.
He's not happy.
But if he lets me get over, I'm fine.
He will.
I don't like, I don't, only if I'm like late. I'm typically late. Life is so much better if you're not late.
Oh my
like
God.
Like you can just observe so much more yeah. instead of, as soon as you're late, it's tunnel vision.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to get there on time. You're riding people's ass. And then, but who's the person that when they drive up on you, they look at you?
Iowa.
Yeah.
Iowans look the most.
Really?
They will, as they pass you, they will hard turn you the whole way driving by.
That's because it's Iowa and they know everybody. And they're like, who the f*** is this guy?
I don't know that Taurus.
Yeah.
They also know there's nobody in front because nothing says I disapprove of the way you're driving, like driving a speeding bullet in the opposite direction while you're looking a different way, you know?
That's so true.
Yeah.
That's so true. I found that I was like, I remember I was doing shows in Iowa and I'd never noticed so many looky-loos every car that I passed or passed me, just a hard like look.
That's really over. Interesting. I gotta pay attention to that next time I'm in Iowa.
Some people, they'll evaluate the whole train as you go.
Mm-hmm. You know, Iowa's an interesting place. You know, like they've got like that. Do you guys know that's the birthplace of the chiropractor? Is Iowa?
No.
Yeah. A lot of people think chiropractor. Oh, it's like this Eastern kind of like meditative like practice.
Sure. No, maybe. It was Chad who couldn't get into medical school Iowa.
It was this dude, David Daniel Palmer.
Yeah.
One of those dudes who thought his middle name was important, you know, and he was working at a magnetic healing facility.
I'm in already.
He was working at a magnetic healing facility where they just like, you know,
He was on the cusp of some promising alternative medicine.
I mean, this dude wasn't vaxxing before they even invented vaxxes.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, he was probably way ahead of the whole crystal thing, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so this is 1875 and I don't know when they invented the vaccine.
Let's go with it.
Penicillin.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah,
around that time, I don't know. Anyway, so he is a magnetic healing facility where I don't know, they just hang you on a fridge and you're healed, I guess. And there was this janitor there, and the janitor had a crook in his back, and David Daniel Palmer, he was deaf.
He was literally the first DDP.
DDP. Yeah. DDP saw this deaf janitor with a crook in his back, and he said, "Hey, can I do an adjustment on you?"
And the guy said, "What?"
He didn't say anything.
And hey, can I do an adjustment on you?
He took the silence as a complicit. Yes. Yeah.
I'm trying to mop. All right, sorry, go ahead.
And so he just did it. And, you know.
Then he made a hole.
And then it worked. I guess
what you don't hear is that the janitor died immediately.
Yeah.
But the second adjustment was successful.
Yeah, very.
He heard the voice of God saying, "Welcome home, my son."
You know what I'm thinking with the magnet thing could have been? You said 1875. So we're getting out of the Civil War. Maybe they're pulling musket balls out of people with magnets.
Oh,
you know, like,
can you?
I think I don't know what you guys do. Chiropractician.
Yeah.
Chiropractic.
Chiropractors.
That it is the sushi of the medical field.
Oh, now how like do you mean that now?
Like on one end of it, you're going, what is this? What are we even doing here?
Yeah.
And then on the other end of it, you're like, this is excellent.
Mm.
Yeah. So there's like, because there's like crazy gas station sushi, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like other sushi where you're like, this might be the best thing I've ever had.
Right.
And so then I think with like chiropractor, there's like places where you go where they're like, this is not only going to cure your acne and your limp. You also are going to be like a more
you told him
like
about my acne
loving
my limp.
Person. You were late. And then the other end is like almost sports medicine of like actual like relieving pressure in certain areas. But you can get this like gambit of just like,
yeah,
one end is like, you're going to be a better athlete. And the other end is like, we use unicorn blood. Right.
Yeah,
like it's all over the place.
It's got one foot in the absurd and 1 foot in legitimate medicine.
Yeah. And any sort of chiropractor can sort of choose which right. way they want to go with it.
Yeah. Chiropractor. There was this one, someone sent me this thing talking about how, this was back when everyone was getting loony with COVID. They were talking about how nicotine would help prevent you from getting COVID, and sent me this 2 hour conversation with a doctor who was saying it. And I said, first thing I said, let me guess, he's a chiropractor. And she's like, how do you know? Have you heard of?
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Pope Francis's body has been buried after the funeral and procession through the streets of Rome. It's St. Mary Major outside the Vatican, which is unusual. No word when cardinals will get together to choose a new pope. Before attending the funeral, President Trump sat down for a face-to-face meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky at the Vatican. ABC's James Longman's there.
This is the first time since Zelensky was in the Oval Office, and of course that meeting that went slightly off the rails with President Trump. The United States has said that that meeting went well.
An Israeli airstrike in Gaza City today killed 10 people, half of them children, say local health officials. Iran's government-controlled media says a explosion in the port city of Bandar Abbas has killed several people and injured more than 700 others. ABC's Marcus Moore.
Video shared on social media showed thick black smoke billowing from the port. Hospitals reported receiving hundreds of patients. It's unclear what caused the explosion.
Our Marcus Moore, this is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Day three of the NFL draft. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Green Bay, where it's the final day now of the draft. Last night, the Packers adding two players on offense, tackle Anthony Belton out of NC State, and another wide receiver, Savion Williams from TCU, GM Brian Gutekunst.
Just so versatile, so many different things. I think he's one of those guys that Matt and his offensive staff, just the creativity they can use this guy in so many different ways that, we were really excited to get him. Again, I think we did some good for the Packers. We got a big day tomorrow, a bunch more picks, and the board's looking pretty good, so we're excited about it.
Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Cardinals 3-2 in St. Louis. NBA, the Bucks beat the Pacers in Milwaukee 117-101. Bobby Portis.
This is the biggest game of the year, being down 0-2, being at home in front of our great fans, our great crowd. Want to put on a good performance and, get a dub. That was the biggest thing.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, lots of sun and a high near 62. Slight chance of a shower late tonight, lows around 43. Showers and storms Sunday with a high near 61. More showers and storms Sunday night with a low near 53. Monday and Monday night, showers and storms, some strong. Right now, it's 52.
Confidence is knowing you're ready to handle whatever comes your way. That's what it feels like to take on your workday with Cintas. They make sure your AEDs are up to date, your fire extinguishers are tested and inspected, your floor mats are cleaned and delivered, and your workwear looks good, feels good, and is freshly laundered with a Cintas Apparel Plus program. So are you ready to take on today? Visit Cintas.com.
Oh,
and get ready for the workday.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Folks, I'm Charlie Behrens, and if you're tuning in, this is the Cripescast on Civic Media.
Yeah, chiropractor, there was this one, someone sent me this thing talking about how this was back when everyone was getting loony with COVID. They were talking about how nicotine would help prevent you from getting COVID and sent me this 2-hour conversation with a doctor who was saying it. And I said, first thing I said, let me guess, he's a chiropractor. And she's like, how do you know? Have you heard of him? And I was like, I don't know. And no shade to chiropractors.
No, that's what I'm saying. There's some that are actually amazing. You get to sort of like fall where you want to.
I have heard people tell stories like of absolute revelation as patients. I've always, cynical guy, so I'm always a little weird about things like that.
I've done a lot of chiropractic work, but I've had some where I'm like, this person's creeping me out.
Yeah.
And then I've had other ones where I'm like, oh, you work on that football player?
Did you ever have one of them stick a needle into you, into one of the muscles in your back?
Are you saying different from acupuncture?
Are you saying different from acupuncture?
This was I went to a physical therapy thing, and part of it was a little bit of chiropractic.
I think acupuncture is legitimate.
But this was acupuncture, but it wasn't that she was putting a bunch of needles in. She was putting needles in one at a time until she hit the muscle that was causing my back issues. Mm-hmm. And it was immensely painful. Mm-hmm. She said it would be. And I was so hungover. You and I had gone out and it was like a nine. You sent me to this person.
I remember that?
Remember I was laying on this floor?
You were debilitated.
Okay, so it was here in Milwaukee?
Yeah. It was in Milwaukee. You were debilitated. You were just on the ground, not able
to get up.
Wait, I've lost the thread. Debilitated from being hungover or debilitated from the procedure
back,
or combo?
Okay, so a back injury from a car accident, extremely hungover from...
You got that guy's phone number?
Drinking.
Let's call him right now.
Yeah. And so, Charlie, you got to go to this person. He like booked the appointment.
I was before, and they did the needle thing to me too.
Okay.
So so when I was hungover, by the way, like at this time I was like 50 pounds heavier.
Sure.
So I'm hungover, I'm sweating insane. You would think I'm having a heart attack. And I'm on her table. I'm drenched in sweat. Her table is drenched in sweat.
Yeah.
She stops and goes, are you okay? And I go, yeah, I just sweat a lot. And she's like, you're not having like a medical emergency, are you? And I'm like, no.
Constant.
So now that I'm in my head about it, my body's like, let's sweat twice as much. So she's trying to work with me. She's like slipping off of me.
Oh my gosh.
And she's got these needles. And she does it, and I'm trying to be tough.
You were going into your back?
Into like a nerve.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, like it was so painful. And she's like, I know, but after a while, it'll feel better. Got up from the table to leave. Couldn't walk to the reception desk. And she's like, just wait. So I had to stay there for like half an hour. Horrible pain for like 2 hours. And then the next day, I was fine.
You purged it.
It worked.
Your body purged it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now it comes back, but like,
sure,
that was an example of a type of medicine I would have been skeptical of, because all things are possible only through the Lord. So how is science going to help me? But I was skeptical of it.
Great joke.
And
he's serious.
I was wrong.
So sure. Yeah, but that was a PT. That was a physical therapist. Mm-hmm.
She was worried about me. She thought she needed to call it.
I was worried about you too. You were also sweating in here.
The sweating she was worried about.
When did you end up on this floor? Before or after the procedure?
Before. So I came in, we were going to shoot something. I laid down on the floor about my back while he was working on his computer. And then something happened and I quite literally could not get up.
Oh my gosh.
And he's like, do you need me to call like an ambulance? And I'm like, I don't think so, but let's give this a little while.
Yeah.
And then
I got the dolly, just wheeled him downstairs.
what a experience. But anyway, you know, like those types of medicines, there's some legitimate.
I'm a believer in acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And look, I'm not No, I feel like I got to backtrack on this chiropractor thing because I know some chiropractors, but the last time I went to a chiropractor, I had a substitute chiropractor. You know, like
so they were doing the lesson plan from the day before.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing, man, but he was on one. Like he was like, oh yeah, like
he wheeled in a big rear projection TV on a cart into the office. He's like, okay, guys,
he's got one of those visors with the fake blonde hair, yeah, spiky's coming out of it, but it's not fake.
We're gonna watch Rudy. Stretch your back out.
That's so great.
No, this dude just violently cracked my neck in the most violent manner. Like I was like to the point where I didn't want him to do the other side. Mm-hmm. He did it again. I was just so thankful I wasn't paralyzed at that point. Oof. I was like, all right, that's it for me and the chiropractor. And also when I first went to the chiropractor, they were like, have you been in a car accident? And I was like, no. And that scared me into getting a plan. But then I talked to someone else who hadn't been in a car accident and they said the chiropractor said the same thing to them. Yeah. So I was like, oh, maybe that's a sales thing.
I mean, it does work. It gets you that hip alignment.
I'm a bit of a health nut, so I'm going to chase this coffee with a Diet Coke.
Oh, good for you, dude.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
As a public figure, you know, a lot of people know who you are.
Yeah, thanks.
You're a very likable guy, but there's bound to be people that don't like you.
Oh, yeah, there's people that don't like
you. I mean, what's the line? If you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping.
Right. And like,
that's what's up.
And I would think with Charlie, because, you know, like Charlie doesn't really cause a lot of trouble. The hatred probably comes from a place of not jealousy, but just like they think they're funnier. I don't know. Whatever it is. Let's say you don't like Charlie. Mm-hmm. And Hannah, I'm not talking about you, like that's between us. But just kidding. But
it's between everybody.
Do you ever go out into the world for like, let's say you're going to like the urologist.
Yeah.
Do you ever worry like someone's going to have access to your body and just be like, I didn't like that last video.
Dude, no, that doesn't concern me.
Like someone leans over, they're like, now, do you want the local anesthetic or do you want to be put under? You're like, this is open heart surgery. Please put me under. You're like, oh, okay. Not a Bears fan though, huh?
The kind of weirder thing is more the opposite end where like someone is a fan and they kind of they violate. Like there was this one time I was in a waiting room waiting to get, you know, like a pretty standard test result, sure, that you get at your physical, but you know, not really one that you know,
it's you'd like a little discretion.
Yeah, yeah. You sure like people to pretend like they don't know you.
Yeah.
These guys waited for I got in maybe second. There were like five people there. They got all the other people out. And then they were like, all right, Charlie, let's get this picture done real quick. I said, what picture? So and then we went over, we took a picture in front of the inspirational poster. So people didn't know we were in the hospital because that's against the rules.
But they're all pointing to your mole. Or like you're the sore on your crotch.
There's no sore on my crotch
anymore
because they healed it. God bless them.
There's too familiar.
There's some goofy stuff like that, and you know, I'm always happy to take a picture or whatever.
Of course.
It's just kind of there's some times where, you know, you just prefer we pretend no one knows who I am.
Love your loon, bless by you. The way, you guys ever go to the loon fest?
Burp break.
You know who made the loon?
The laptop. Hannah?
Hannah did it.
You made this loon?
She's a wicked talented artist.
Have you been to the loon festival up in northern Wisconsin?
Oh,
I went when I was a kid. It was a great time. We had a.
Tell me about the loon fest.
I mean, honestly, it was just any other carnival, but with like loon decorations everywhere. And I remember my mom bought a loon CD. That was then really in heavy rotation in our house.
Was it just hours of, oh, that's not a good loon. Excited.
Always makes me think of the Tom Green.
The loon?
It's like, no, that's way too sexy bird, dude.
I want to hear the loony loon.
That's way too sexy.
What's your best bird? Do you have a good bird? My best bird is a whippoorwill.
Let me hear it.
Wait, I'm not ready.
God, that's really great, good. Man.
I know. It's a little rusty. It'll get better over time.
Oh, that's okay.
I love a good whippoorwill.
Do you know the bird? They're in New England. I love hearing them. And they sound like this. They sound like, they almost sound like a swing set that has a little rust or something. They're like, I wish I
yes.
could look it up.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
They're around here.
Okay. I love
yeah,
that sound.
I've heard them up at the cabin.
Yeah. It
reminds me of summers in Massachusetts.
Yeah. A cardinal. I like a good cardinal.
This is Hannah's at show I just went to. She made all those. And I bought the big buck hunter one.
Oh, my God. Look at this at.
Nice, huh?
Oh, my God. You look so... You made all this yourself. You cut these squares.
Wicked talented.
Look at these egg rolls.
I bought the buck hunter one.
Is that the one hanging at the studio?
She's going to give it to me when the exhibit is over. Or I'm going to call her from a payphone and threaten her.
Yeah, no, Loon Fest was great. Loon's a big deal.
Where was Loon Fest again?
I want to say it was like an hour west of Rhinelander.
Was it the place with the giant loon?
I don't remember seeing a big giant loon, but that would be fitting, wouldn't it?
There is a big, where is a big giant loon? It's a small town. It's not New London. Big Loon, Wisconsin. Let me find it for you.
This is really great.
It's in Mercer.
Would love this.
Mercer's got the giant loon. You guys see that? Pretty cool.
There's loons up at my aunt and uncle's lake. And Rhinelander, and it's always a big treat when you see a loon.
Do you think loons look down their beaks at ducks?
What is the hierarchy, yeah, do you think?
Because everybody gets all do, hard
but I think
loons.
A good mallard is above a Canadian goose.
He saw some ducks at the park the other day and just stopped it in his tracks.
He's a beautiful mallard?
There was a male and a female together.
Yeah.
So if I'm ranking Wisconsin birds from my limited knowledge.
Okay, let's do it because I'm game for this.
Now here, I have one specific that I have to give an honorable mention. But if we were like literally just doing this with my family, it would be number one. But I can't force you guys into that. There is a great little resort outside of Montello. And that resort, White Lake Resort Bar Restaurant, they have peacocks. So in my family, we associate peacocks big time with Wisconsin. Obviously, I know that's not traditional.
Ones?
So that's giving. No, they live there.
Okay.
But yeah, they're outside, like roaming around, and they're not penned up or anything.
There's peacocks at the Milwaukee Zoo too.
Okay,
that's where I'm most familiar seeing peacocks.
So that's my honorable mention.
Okay,
but I think would we agree? We'll start at the top. Bird number one is either loon or crane. Where would you go?
I gotta say, we gotta set. I would almost separate types of birds, but let's just, for the purposes of this conversation, this isn't a whole podcast about birds. So we'll just say top birds. I do think the loon, first of all, it's a state bird, I believe, in Minnesota, which is problematic. However, Minnesota can't just take the loon. We got a lot of loons, northern Wisconsin.
Yes.
Thing about a loon, it's like a duck in a tux. You know, it's like a well-dressed duck.
It is ready for the wedding.
And loons are fascinating. First of all, if you ever see the little baby loons just sit on the top of the mother loon when they're going.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they'll do is they'll put their head down. They'll find some fish and they just go down there and get them. And they'll leave the little babies up there, which is dangerous.
Yeah,
because the eagles will come and...
Yeah,
scoop them up. So it's got to be quick. They get up there and then they feed them. So usually there's the mom who's sitting there. Look at that. God,
and the eagle swoops down and makes.
And
it
I don't
really...
think for our purposes we can put eagle on the list, right?
No, I do want to talk about the eagle
that
though.
Bird belongs to America.
Exactly. Usually there's a male and a female loon. The male or the female. I think the female will hold the little babies, and then the male will go down get some fish.
Mm-hmm.
So, but sometimes they do leave the little babies there because they got to figure it out eventually. Mm-hmm. But then if they see an eagle flying above them, they'll start going, "Ooh!" But that's an owl. It's like,
right?
Oh, that's too turkey. I'm going to get the loon eventually.
And the eagle, when it swoops down, a lot of people don't know this. The eagle doesn't make that badass sound they fly in movies.
That's what I wanted to talk about.
The eagles make a stupid sound. The sound an eagle makes in a movie is actually a hawk.
It's a hawk. Yeah.
I never knew that until recently. And I was disappointed to hear that.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, maybe Ben Franklin was right. We should have done the turkey.
He did want the turkey. Mm-hmm. Now, I bet some people would say, they would put number one on their Wisconsin bird list, blue heron.
I mean, that's pretty cool. It's cool to see one of them sitting in the reeds, the blue heron, you know, and the crane. The cranes, they were
the whooping crane.
The whooping cranes, man, they were shot out of the sky, you know, and they got a cool call too. The whooping cranes.
Yeah. Your whooping crane is good. Your blue heron, your loon, obviously your woodpecker, your cardinal, your whippoorwill. Whippoorwill's high up for me.
Oh, I got to send you this link. I saw this really nice video the other day. It's a little boy. He's been on TV and stuff. He's autistic and he has
this seen it.
Incredible bird.
Love it. Yeah.
He's such a beautiful little story too. Yeah. All the kids think he's cool. Nice? And he is cool.
He can do all the calls.
Yeah, we can maybe throw him up. He's amazing.
Yeah, let's watch this. Can you look up little boy with the bird calls, Hannah?
He was on the news and the anchor was like, "Do you ever think you are a bird?" And the kid's like, "Yeah." But let me tell you a little bird fact while we're waiting.
Yeah.
The only thing I can contribute to this conversation. You guys probably already know this. You know the James Bond thing?
What about it?
So the creator of James Bond, Fleming, Ian Fleming.
Yeah.
He used to always be in, I think it was either the Bahamas or Bermuda. He had a house there and he'd write there. And he was a big bird guy, loved birds. And on his desk was a Audubon bird.
I remember this.
And the author of the book's name was James Bond. And when he was writing James Bond, he thought, oh, that's a really cool, masculine, British sounding name. So he named the secret agent James Bond, but James Bond is named after just some bird nerd.
That just makes me want to read all of James Bond's
I always thought that was so cool because, like, that's such a cool name.
That is
a cool name. But it's cool because of the James, because of what it became, you know?
Yeah. I like, that's how it should be, you know, because, cool. Like, birding is cool.
Look at this kid.
This is a great one that was down.
Perfect. Cordell high on this.
This is a wild turkey. I did this in Jackie one time.
Dude, I gotta bring this guy hunting.
I mean, I can do a better turkey than that.
No, I want to hear that.
You yell that in the audience. I can do that better.
That's a good goose.
Yeah. Oh, here's the eagle.
This is a bald eagle.
Love it, dude.
Sounds like a seagull.
Mm-hmm. I thought the same thing.
This is a blue jay.
That is perfect.
That's
that
really impressive.
That is perfect blue jay.
This is an American robin.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's...
He also knew how to ramp up in the right way.
Yeah, he started off... Mm-hmm.
Look at this cardinal.
This is a northern cardinal.
Wow.
I like that. That's a
dude,
very familiar.
You hear these kids shushing the other kids.
Yes.
Like, I want to hear this next one.
This is the raven.
Wow, dude.
Wouldn't it be great to realize you had the coolest kid ever?
Yeah. I mean.
This is the morning dove.
Morning. Mm-hmm.
You can almost see fog. Like, you remember when you get up early in the summer?
Yeah. This will sound like the eagle that we're used to, but it's right.
This is a red-tailed hawk.
Yeah.
Lies.
That's part of big eagle propaganda.
So this is a tufted titmouse.
Dude, I love a good tufted titmouse, mm-hmm. Man.
Yeah, you do.
A great-tailed grackle.
I can't tell you if he's right on that one or not.
That's frankly. The only one he couldn't find a stuffed
very
animal
impressive.
For.
This is the Mississippi kite sound. Just to let you know, this is a high-pitched noise.
She did great, bro.
Wow. What's his closer? Oh, that was his closer. Yeah. What was that? I couldn't hear.
It was a high-pitched noise. That's what he gave the crowd a warning for.
Oh, okay.
How do you beat that?
That's almost like the epilepsy kind of warning, you know, mm-hmm. if you're susceptible to epileptic seizures.
Flashing lights.
I feel bad. He was giving
like gave a warning for loud sound.
I feel bad for the kid that had to follow him. The teacher's like, okay, great. Okay, next up is Joey D'Angelo is going to be playing Hot Cross Buns on his recorder.
Misses three notes, you know.
Yeah.
Starts off on the wrong one.
Bird Kid just comes back out to save him.
Yeah, like, Bird Kid's do a behind the more. Curtain. The curtain just playing perfect recorder sounds.
Dude, you're nailing it.
Nice.
I was a little off key. You were more on key, but
thank you.
You know, did you guys, we all played the recorder, right?
I never did.
You never
was not a part.
Come on.
Was not a part.
I don't
of
think
the
you're an
Rochelle
American
elementary school program.
I don't think you're an American.
I never even saw a recorder.
Really?
Until like my youngest brother, I remember that was like a thing.
Oh, maybe it's, how old are you?
I'm 44.
Maybe it's Bill. You played the recorder.
I did. I had my recorder privileges taken away from me in elementary school.
Why?
Because in music class, we had a very nasty teacher. She was not a nice lady. I won't say her name.
You have her phone number?
Hey, just want to tell you, this is Billy Deuce from Valley Forge Elementary School. You were not very nice to me in music class, and coming to get you. No, she was just, I don't know, she didn't like me because she didn't like my older sister. And so I inherited that.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Was your older sister like you, a bit of a rabble rouser?
She could be a class clown. Danielle. Okay. Yeah. But okay. She was a good student. So she had.
She got where
I was a class clown and went to a lot of summer school. But so I'm in the music class and she leaves for a second and we're all playing our recorders. And we used to all make fun of the way she played the piano.
Yeah.
She leaves the room. I go up to the piano. I'm doing an impression of her playing the piano and like yelling at people. She comes back and sees it. And she sent me to the principal and then I couldn't play recorder for the rest of the week or whatever.
Well, it had nothing to do with the recorder.
I think I had to like do sheet music worksheets or something.
Well, that's why you're such a good musician today. Maybe you should.
Maybe.
I had a music teacher who was singing and he picked me out of the whole class. He said, "You stop singing." And I was like, okay.
That's
just sit down. Yeah. Got singled out on that one. That's what I thought. I was a good singer until that day. I had so much confidence.
How
false
old
confidence?
You?
Seven.
That's
no eight.
Oh, then never mind.
Yeah.
That's where you need to know if you have pitch or not. I thought I was a good altar boy until I was told otherwise.
Really? You were, what was the day you found out you were a bad altar boy? What did you do?
Having no Catholic experience myself. What makes a good or a bad?
Well, you don't know this, but like during a Catholic mass, there's all these moves. You got to be like up, down.
Oh, no, I'm familiar in that regard. Okay. I just didn't grow up in it. Like I've been to a lot of Catholic mass. I just never been in the other side of the curtain, the inner workings
right.
of like a good altar boy or any of that.
So like the...
I'll bust out a Jesus Lamb of God with you guys if you want me to.
We should probably end on a hymn. But
yeah, we yeah.